Blog Talk Radio.
Into a building in New York was during World War II when a B-25 crashed into the Empire State Building, but it was nothing like what happened in the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001. And David Fowler, who I worked with for many years and who was one of the best and real journalists here in San Francisco and in California, also he worked for the FEMA. In the National Fire Academy, he gave courses in Virginia, and he prepared the disaster plan that was used in part at the recovery and rescue at the Twin Towers. So there's a lot of history that's connected to us people in the media and in history and in public life. So we'll get into more of this later. And as the most interesting days, birthdays, deaths, and events, those of you who watched the many versions, I think it's three or four versions of The Three Musketeers, the evil cardinal was Richelieu. He was born today in 1585. Now, this is how this operated in history. The oldest son of the nobility usually inherited the family wealth. The second son went into the military. If there was a third son, he went into the church. And what they used to do in the Middle Ages, it's the 15th century, in France, Spain, Italy, Austria, the Catholic countries, the Roman Catholic countries, the youngest son would either be study real quick to be a priest, and then he was elevated, he was catapulted into the cardinal status, which is the second rank of the Catholic Church, the first rank. There is no equal. That is the Pope, the Pontiff. And Richelieu was a politician, superb politician. There was only two of these cardinals in French history. His successor was a guy named Mazarin. But Richelieu was the Prime Minister of France, and he was a manipulator. He was constantly plotting against England and with the Duke of Buckingham to restore the English throne to the Catholic Church and plus France's influence. So you see those movies. I think the last Cardinal Richelieu, the role was played by Charlton Heston, who was not a Roman Catholic, as I recall, was from Wilmette, Illinois. And also, I think my speech teacher, Professor Dolly Sarson, Northwestern University, Wright College, I think she tutored him, Rock Hudson, who was also from Illinois, and Marilyn Kim Novak, whose seat I used to sit in several years after she had moved on to Hollywood. She's also the only person, she lives here in California, Central California. She was married to Richard Johnson, and then they got divorced. He was a British actor. Then she married a veterinarian, and she's the only one allowed in the country to import and to raise llamas. Very interesting. Among the other birthdays today is Captain Bly. Now, he's been vilified by the Nordhoff's book, Mutiny on the Bounty, which the original one starred in 1935, starred Clark Gable, Franchot Tone, and Charles Lawton. And Bly was not of the nobility like Fletcher Christian, who was a second lieutenant. And this is what happened. The sons, legitimate or not, of the nobility, if they couldn't find a place for them, they went into the military, and this is what happened with Fletcher Christian. And so, but Bly worked his way up to a captainship, and after he was set adrift, he sailed to Bermuda. This is from in the South Pacific. It was a remarkable feat of navigation. It's only been surpassed or equaled or near equaled by Admiral Rozhestvensky in 1905 when the Russian admiral to relieve the siege at Vladivostok and Port Arthur in the Russo-Japanese War. He sailed 5,000 nautical miles from the Baltic Sea, the Black Sea Fleet as it was known, all the way around to the Sea of Japan to fight Admiral Togo. And, of course, Togo was prepared and gunning for him. And, of course, it's one of my interests, and there is a connection to San Francisco. Jack London was the only correspondent there. But Bly's feat was remarkable, and it's kind of fun to listen to this movie, especially in our archives. And the latest version was with Trevor Howard, who played Captain Bly, and Marlon Brando played Fletcher Christian. But I think the original black and white was superior. Also, Fletcher Christian got involved with this Tahitian lady, and was a lot of cost overruns. There was also a version, I think, with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson. Yes, there was. I'm not familiar with that one. But let me just play this extract from the film. Mutiny on the Bounty, the original one in 1935.
Murdering butcher. I've had enough of this bloodshed. He's the master of life and death on a quarter deck above the angels. Akai, clear them! I'm sick of blood. Bloody backs, bloody faces. Why, you dirty lies coming out of this ship? We'll be men again and we're hanged for it.
Casting me adrift, 3,500 miles from a port of coal. You're sending me to my doom, eh? Well, you're wrong, Christian. I'll take this boat as she floats to England if I must. I'll live to see you, all of you, hanging from the highest yardarm in the British fleet.
Yeah, now the history, according to... Bly's been unfavorably treated. He later retired, rose to the rank of, I think, Rear Admiral. There's a lot of controversy about what he did, but he was actually, the bounty was to get breadfruit, to go to the South Pacific, get breadfruit, which was going to be then shipped on the bounty to feed the slaves in the British colonies, Bermuda, the Bahamas. And it didn't work out, and in fact, of course, the breadfruit was thrown overboard because the water had to be used to keep the breadfruit alive. Now, this is accurate. And so Fletcher Christian reluctantly and then finally went along with this mutiny. Now, mutiny in the navies of the world at that time, all of them, was a hanging offense. And, of course, the captain on the ship, he was Lord and Master, and if he decided somebody should be flogged, they were flogged, even to within an inch of their life. Now, there had the British seamen were many of them were impressed. That was, they would send these press gangs into the port town, get these guys drunk, or if they were drunk, and then they would bring them onto the ship, and they'd wake up sober and impressed into His Majesty's Navy. And we had this here in San Francisco, China Basin, where and then you get the term Shanghai. I think it comes from the China trade, but I'll look it up. I forgot to. Anyway, Bligh did a remarkable feat. And what was interesting was the reason that, he did get another ship, two of them, I think, and went searching for Fletcher Christian and the mutineers. Now, they had burned the Bounty, and they found this piece of land, Pitcairn's Island in the South Pacific. And incredibly, the location of the island was, I think, 1,000 miles off on the all the charts in the British Navy. So they never found the descendants of Fletcher Christian and the mutineers. And now that I think that island's under the suzerainty of New Zealand, but it's just a remarkable story. And these people lived there up until our time, and they get their mail, I think, and their communications from New Zealand and Australia. Among the other interesting days today, birthdays today, we have Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian author, War and Peace, among his. I think he was a vegetarian. And there are several movie versions and a BBC production of War and Peace. The original one we saw was by the director King Vidor. It starred Henry Fonda as Pierre Bezuzov, and then Mel Ferrer as Prince Bukowski, and his wife at the time, Audrey Hepburn, who is not related to the other Hepburn, who was involved with Spencer Tracy. She was a Belgian. And then there was another version with the Russians brought out one in 1970, which was they used the Russian army. It was a huge production. And there was Sergei Bondarev, and he was not only director, but he decided, he was an older guy, he decided he was going to play Pierre, and a lot of people didn't like that. But Natasha won an American Oscar for her role in the Russian version of War and Peace. Then there was another version put out by the BBC, and with Anthony Hopkins playing Pierre, and that one's still that's available on DVD, as I recall. And then also today we have the birthday of, if you've been eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, or some people call it Kentucky Fried Rat, if you have the runs, one of the reasons that people get sick eating it, I ate it going across country, is because they don't change the oil. This is the allegation, that the oil was used and they may have BHT in it and all those other chemicals that people are suspicious about and should be. And one of the reasons that people get diarrhea or stomach aches is because because there's an allegation that these franchisers who run these various Kentucky Fried Chicken outlets do not change the oil every day as they should. I understand that McDonald's does it, and they don't want their people, their customers getting sick. And Colonel Saunders, he was not a colonel in the U.S. Army. He was not a Confederate colonel. This was he was a Kentucky colonel, and then there's an honorary designation. Now, he says that his recipe, or he said he's dead now, he was fooling around in his kitchen. He had a roadside restaurant in Kentucky, and he used to mix various spices. I think that he claimed there were 10 or 11 secrets concoction of the spices that any housewife could find on her shelf in a well-stocked kitchen. But he never disclosed them, and nobody's been able to figure out the proportions or even the various ingredients. He did sell the franchise to Pepsi-Cola, and then he used to go around that part of the deal playing the role of the Kentucky Colonel, and he said that the gravy tasted like a wallpaper paste, and he was pretty disgusted with it. And, of course, Pepsi-Cola, and now you see Kentucky Fried Chicken all around the world, even in China and Russia and I think in India as well. Oh, that's right. They don't like cow. One of the great German-Russian conductors, Kurt Sandlin, was born today. Also, we had those of you who remember gambling and you listened to his projections or advice on betting, Jimmy the Greek Snyder. I don't know why he was called the Greek. Great actor. He was in since it's political season, see the best man. Cliff Robertson played a Nixon-type character who was involved in a homosexual experience when he was in the Navy. And I forgot the actor, comedian, Shelley Berman, accused him of having an affair with him. And this came out in the political hot boiler called The Best Man. And Henry Fonda was designated, he was Secretary of State. He was heterosexual, fooling around with other women. And Lee Tracy played the ex-president who was going to be the anointed, who was going to anoint the next presidential candidate. And he played a Harry Truman type role. He was disgusted with this attempt to smear what Cliff Robertson was trying to blackmail Henry Fonda. And so they both checkmated each other out. And what happened at the end of the book or the movie, a George Christopher type character, also looked like Agnew, was driven into the stadium waving, you know, like he was going to be the next president. And it's quite interesting. Cliff Robertson played in some other films. I think he married the Miss Post, granddaughter of the guy that founded Post Cereals. And her mother was a very very famous socialite. Of course, they had the money to play that role. And those of us who like good old soul and good old Muddy Waters type music, Otis Redding, Doc of the Bay, he was born today. And then we had, let's see, we have any other birthdays? And then among the deaths today, William the Conqueror, or William the Bastard, as some of the English refer to him. In 1066, he made claim to England. And at the Battle of Hastings, he defeated Harold. And then 21 years later, William the Conqueror died, and he had set up what is called the Plantagenets, Richard I, Richard II, Henry I. And they lost control of the crown, I think, at Tewkesbury with Richard III, and then the Tudor dynasty started. And then that ended with the Stuarts, because of all these dynastic intermarriages. Or somebody said 1,000 years of incest. And then in 1976, Mao Tse-tung finally died. Now, Mao also came from an aristocratic background, but one of his great feats was the 5,000-mile long march when he was fighting Chiang Kai-shek, and who was considered a bandit, and the nationalists, and they fled from Chiang Kai-shek's army into the rural parts of China. And on a 5,000-long march, and the survivors of that march became the leaders of China, of communist China, when they finally defeated Chiang Kai-shek's forces and forced him to flee to Formosa. And the Formosans still didn't consider themselves belonging to mainland China or to Beijing or Peking, still resent the nationalists and Chiang Kai-shek for coming in there and abusing them and then taking over the country and the government. Also today, among the events, we have a slave revolt. We're hearing more and more about these things. You don't see them in history as much. 1739, there were in South Carolina, I think it was. They're always having problems down there. 25 whites were killed in the slave revolt, and of course these things were put down brutally. And 1776, Continental Congress changed their name from the United Colonies. You don't hear this very often, and they became the United States. And then here's another achievement for blacks. In 1817, the first known black college graduate was a guy named Twilight. Alexander, I think it's Lucius Twilight. First graduate of U.S. College in Middlebury, Vermont. Very interesting. And then today, in 1850, California became the 31st state. Some people think that are hoping that it would fall off the mainland here. And it just may, given the way things are going with these earthquakes and the way they're building without reinforcing the structures properly. Also in 1850, the territories of Utah and New Mexico were established. And then I suggest you go to our latest YouTube video, Deconstructing Obama, where Bill Richardson, who is, now he's interesting. Here's a guy who, his name is Richardson, but he looks like Latino. His mother was Mexican. His father was from the aristocrats in Massachusetts, and the father was working in South America at the time when Bill Richardson was born. But Bill Richardson was legally an American citizen because his father was an American citizen. And also, he was born in Pasadena. The father brought him, the family brought him back up to California, and he was born in Pasadena. But because of his father's citizenship, he is an American citizen. His politics suck, but that's another issue. But he's the one, and nobody, no Democratic political consultant like Steve McMahon and others, no political party official, no media person has challenged Bill Richardson on that statement, which was caught on French TV, caught by French TV at the Democratic National Presidential Convention in September of 2008 that was held in Denver, Colorado. I suggest you go and see that on our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, YouTube. And then, let's see. And then here in San Francisco is a beautiful fountain at Kearney and Market called the Lettuce Fountain. That was dedicated today. So if you're coming to San Francisco, there is a traveler's advisory. We'll get into that in a few minutes. And then 1880, President Hayes came here, and then Hayes Street was named after him. It has now become one of the most yuppified cities, streets in California. And then in 1908, Orville Wright, the guy who did the first, him and his brothers, the Wright brothers, did the first manned flight, did a first flight that lasted an hour. Now, in 1911, the British were the ones who started airmail. And then in 1919, we had the Boston police strike, and Calvin Coolidge, who was originally from Vermont, the only president from Vermont, born there, became governor of Massachusetts, and he said the public employees have no right to strike. That was picked up by the politicians and the political mucky-mucks at the time in media, and that pushed him into the contention for the presidency, and he was vice presidential nominee on the ticket with Warren G. Harding, who was from Ohio. Now, Harding was not a lawyer. He was a publisher. Also, he was he was accused of having black or Negro blood. That was the term used then. And he used to say, "I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence," as a lot of them did. And they still do that. Also today, we had the first bombing on U.S. soil. It happened in 1942 up in Oregon. Didn't do much damage. And then Italy surrendered on this date in 1923. And then back to Chinese territorial aggression in 1965, Tibet became an autonomous, supposedly, province into China. Now, China has always claimed Tibet, but the Tibetans see it otherwise, and that's why the Dalai Lama is in exile. Also, we just did the video, and we'll be putting it up on Cats and Canine Tales of the City. There is a beautiful dog, and we think it's the Dalai Lama's pet, and we'll be putting it up. You're not going to believe this animal. Also today, we had the first computer was sold, the TRS, which was very famous. And then in 1971, it was a horrible prison riot in Attica, New York. I was in Europe at the time, and I was asked about it, and I kept thinking Utica. But Nelson Rockefeller was governor of New York, and he brutally put down this prison, which had a lot of the prison revolt. They filmed these guys. They were stripped naked and held in the yard of the prison. They were beaten and tortured as they came back into the prison. There was a gauntlet that the ringleaders had to run, and they were naked, and they were beaten all over their bodies. Some were particularly tortured. There was a lawsuit that wasn't settled until years later. Nelson Rockefeller defended what he did. A lot of people think he was a horrible person for doing that. But he, too, became a vice presidential nominee. Selected after Nixon and Agnew resigned, and he was put in the office of vice president by Gerald Ford. And then we had another spy case in 1986, a Russian UN employee named Gennady Zarenkov was convicted by a New York federal jury and court case involving his alleged, oh no, he was convicted of spying. I don't know if he was exchanged like Colonel Rudolf Edel or others. As I said, my early career, I did do some low-level counterintelligence work. Didn't like it, but I had an eye for doing what they asked me to do, and I later moved on. But, you know, it was an interesting experience, and many of the people who have worked on the Steve Nera case, the U.S. Navy sailor, whose case is back in federal court. You won't read about it because it's one of the most censored cases on the federal court docket in the whole history of the federal court. It's just incredible how the abuse, the 16 years of abuse and the nearly $15 million that it's cost the American taxpayer, $10 million of that has gone to build a building for AIDS sufferers appropriately. And the operators who were connected to Pfrey, the sexual predator who died trying to rape this 18-year-old sailor that he drugged, they raised the rents 400%, unprecedented. And this is all HUD money, which is, of course, funded by the American taxpayer. So we're going to end, and we'll be back Monday. Let me get our our usual theme about the politics that we're usually involved in. Nope, not what we're going to do. And also, if you're coming to San Francisco, be aware, be prepared for possible demonstrations and disruption of the transportation system, especially BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, because of these radical leftists. We think that they are funded and encouraged by the Soros people and that whole left ground, the so-called New America, which is nothing more than a front. And what else was I going to say? So be prepared for that. Also, we still have this what I call municipal anarchy, this public nudity thing. We have the September Folsom Street homosexuals, sadomasochists, a sodomy in the street orgy on Folsom Street, which is south of Market area. It's sodomy in the streets, and a growing number of even people who are gay, who are gay in their private life, because I don't designate people by their sexuality, but what's between their ears, not what's between their legs or isn't between their legs. But so they're getting set up with this because it's giving them and the city a very bad name. And then there's this nudity in the streets, and we're proposing that since there's a growing number of American cities that are in the grip of what we call crotch politics because of all this agitation by radical gays, lesbians, and namblers, that if they want to allow nudity, that they ought to put it in an enclave, let people go nude there, and the rest of us can avoid being offended by their shortcomings. Now, we do have nude beaches. And, you know, that's tolerated. And if you don't like it, you don't go there. If you go there, you wear your trunks. But this nudity in the street, it's just crass. So we're going to end with our usual theme, and we'll be back Monday. And here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a kick.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear.
We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
We're going to be picking more than the candidates for Congress. Let's hope we get some better ones. Get rid of the Pelosi, that crowd. Reid just got reelected, so maybe he'll die in office. We'll see. But anyway, we also will be electing a president, and selecting a president. And let's see, we get somebody who's born in the United States, and also who's working for the people and not for these lobbyists or these special agendas like crotch politics. Anyway, this is Peter Paul Rizzolo, and we'll be back Monday, and we will have, I've got lined up, I just got to do the interview, with a descendant of one of the founders of the American labor movement. I won't give you his name, and I won't tell you where he works. He works in a non-union shop. He seems to be happy. He's a college graduate, and he couldn't find a job working in the field that he graduated from, but it's going to be an interesting perspective because it's a bit of history that you're not going to get or you don't get from the media, which is becoming increasingly mediocre. This is Peter Paul Brazilla, and this will be, I think you can download this on the iPod, and we'll keep this in the archives. Good night.